Though the sun remained hot for an hour or two in the middle of the day, in the shadows dwelt the cold breath of coming winter. To Gibby, however, bare-legged, barefooted, almost bare-bodied as he was, sun or shadow made small difference, except as one of the musical intervals of the life that make the melody of existence. Hardy through hardship, he knew nothing better than a constant, good-humored sparring with nature and circumstances for the privilege of being, enjoyed what came to him thoroughly, never mourned over what he had not, and like the animals, was at peace. To him, the city was all a show. He knew many of the people, some of them who thought no small things of themselves, better than they would have chosen he or anyone else should know them. He knew all the vendors, most of the bakers, most of the small grocers and tradespeople. Animal as he was laying in a great stock for the time when he would be something more, for the time of reflection, whenever that might come. Chiefly, his experience was a wonderful provision for the future perception of character, for he knew how any one of his many acquaintances would behave to him in circumstances within the scope of that experience. When Gibby was not looking in at a shop window or turning on one heel to take in all at a sweep, he was oftenest seen trotting. Seldom he walked. A gentle trot was one of his natural modes of being, and though this day he had been on the trot all the sunshine through, nevertheless, when the sun was going down, there was wee Gibby upon the trot in the chilling and darkening streets. He had not had much to eat. He had been very near having a penny loaf, half a cookie, which a stormy child had thrown away to ease his temper, had done further and perhaps better service in easing Gibby's hunger. The green grocer woman at the entrance of the court where his father lived, a good way down the same street in which he had found the lost earring, had given him a small yellow turnip, to Gibby nearly as welcome as an apple. A fishwife from Finstone, with a creel on her back, had given him all his hands could hold of the seaweed called dulse, presumably not from its sweetness, although it is good eating. She had added to the gift a small crab, but that, because it was alive, he had carried to the seashore and set free. These, the half cookie, the turnip, and the dulse, with the smell of the baker's